Well, thank you very much for that special music. Again, it is special when we get to involve the children, the little children. I do have one more prayer request I want to give to you all. And this is for Erin Warner Shoemaker. So she will be having surgery Tuesday to remove bone fragments from her shoulder from a shattered collarbone. Please pray that she has no negative effect from the anesthesia and a full recovery. She has osteoporosis and her bones are very brittle. So please do keep her in your prayer. I know she has suffered a lot over the years too. So please keep her in your prayers that she would have complete recovery, and also guide the doctor's hands here. You know, each and every one of us, we get to experience the natural seasons, you know, of winter, spring, summer, and fall. And we're coming into the autumn, the fall, right now. And it's a very pretty time. It's what's coming next I'm not really crazy about, but everybody likes different things. But, you know, we're very blessed to see and to experience the creation of God all around us in all of its beauty through the seasons. With these different seasons, we get to see a lot of wide variety of changes, you know, a lot of rain, a lot of sun, a lot of snow. And what I really love is the colors, you know, changing of the leaves. You know, we went to Pennsylvania for the feast, and it was absolutely beautiful up there. Some of the maple trees were bright red, absolutely just beautiful. And then being gone for 2 weeks, coming home, we thought we would see some changes here. Then we got down in this area, and I thought, wow, it's pretty much the same as we left it. But it's coming, hopefully, if we get a little rain to help it. But, you know, you get to see these. You know, each season that we go through and live through, though, it's a preparation for the next season to come, whatever it might be. And each one of these seasons, in a part, is what we need. Whatever we're going through, wherever we are, it's what we need to accomplish in our lives and the life of the church for the purpose of our destiny. That sounds a little out there, but God created us for a destiny. And this is to advance the kingdom of God and to be a part of the kingdom of God. Each of us experience the natural seasons, again, of winter, spring, summer, and fall. We get to do this from a physical standpoint. And again, it's absolutely beautiful. It's lovely changes. But we also experience in our lives spiritual seasons. We all go through different spiritual seasons. And we need them as well. We're reminded of this in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you will, we'll start in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 1 and read just a few verses here. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. No, I'm not going to talk about our dance coming up. But you read this, and it talks about a time for everything. Now, if you were to read on down through here, down through verse 8 and into verse 9, you see that the list goes on. It describes many, many more things that have a time and a season. So today, I'd like for us to consider one aspect of this, and that is how we can live in a season of joy. Does that seem hard? Well, some of us can say no. Some of us can say absolutely. We're all going through different things. We're all going through different seasons in our life. But in whatever season we're in, we can experience the season of joy. Today, joy should be a part of our life. We had a beautiful opportunity to have the blessing of little children. How much more joyful does that get? It's great. We all got to take part of that. Joy is something that we all long for, we all need, we want in our life. Join me in Galatians chapter 5. We all know this very well. This is the fruit. It's a listing of the fruit of God's Spirit. The fruits, I should say, of God's Spirit. Galatians 5, we'll read verses 22 and 23. We'll just go through these. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Let's think about that just for a minute. The joy of knowing that God the Father and Jesus Christ sacrificed for our lives before they knew us, before we were anything. How about the joy of knowing our place in His kingdom is assured because of what Jesus and God the Father did for us? If, and there's that word, if we don't quit, if we don't let down. How about the joy of knowing our sins have been forgiven? That was the point in what they did. The joy of knowing that we are in a relationship with a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, and a God who has a plan that includes us into all eternity. How about the joy of knowing that the Holy Spirit is freely given, and if we're baptized, it resides in us, leading and guiding us, and it brings honor and glory to God. These are just a very small list of the joys that we, as children of God, have. Brethren, knowing Jesus Christ and having a relationship with Him, it brings joy into our life on a daily basis, and it really does. No matter what we're going through, it's there, and we can have it. Christ demonstrated this kind of joy in His ministry, in His earthly ministry. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and verse 34. Luke 7, verse 34. It says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Christ had joy in His life, but the Pharisees, they accused Christ of being too joyful in a wrong kind of way, if you can imagine that. They saw the joy that He displayed as something over the top, something that was wrong. Christ had this joy, and this is an example for us. We need to have this joy in our life, in whatever situation that we're in and whatever situation we're dealing with. Notice Luke chapter 10 here, just a few chapters forward. Notice what it tells us here, Luke 10, verse 21. Luke 10 and verse 21, it says, at that time Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. So you notice that it says that He was full of joy. But He was full of joy through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God. This is the very Spirit that He gives to you and me. And you think about that. You know, sometimes that just seems like words on a page. But really think about it in the depths that it is. The very Spirit that God the Father has given you and me is the same that goes all the way back through time. It's the same. That's the connection that we have all the way back through Christ, all the way back to, you know, when the church started on Pentecost in 31 AD, when He poured out His Holy Spirit. That's the same. That's the thread that runs all the way through into us, and however long this future goes in the physical, it's the same. And I think that's incredible when we think about that. You know, this very same Holy Spirit that is in you and me, we have that extra help to have the kind of joy that Jesus Christ had when he faced everything that he faced. Listen to the words of Christ recorded in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Starting in verse 9. John 15, verse 9 through 11. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things, and listen to this, so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. You know, I can't really do this, but I can show you. This is us, this glass of water, and this is our joy. You know, in this physical life, we have a certain amount of joy. You know, some's here, some's here, wherever, but we have a certain amount of joy. And then Christ comes along. Look at his joy. It's full. Now, I'm not going to do this, but he says he'll pour his joy in us. What's going to happen when that happens? It's going to run over. It's going to be everywhere. That is the promise that he gives us of his joy. And that's what we have to look forward to. He says, remain in my joy. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is encouraging. And sometimes we don't see this, but he tells us this. It's in his word. So if it's in his word, it's a promise. It is there. We have to work it, you know, bring it out, understand it. You know, Christ gave us this wisdom and hope so that we would have the joy that he has now. And that is so encouraging, living in this world, seeing what we see on the news, seeing what we see in our lives. But he gives us this hope. This is how important this kind of joy is, that it comes from the Holy Spirit. And that is comforting. You know, in John, you don't have to turn there, but John 16 and verse 24, Christ told his disciples, he said, ask using my name. He said, if you do this, you will receive, and you will receive abundant joy. In many of Christ's parables, it's based on joy. And again, we won't take the time to turn there, but the example that you'll find in the whole chapter, throughout the whole chapter of Luke chapter 15, you have the parable of the lost sheep. You'll see the parable of the lost coin. How about the parable of the lost son? You notice lost is in front of all that. And this is the parables that you'll see through that. And these parables end, though, if you read through them, and I hope you do, you'll see that they end with a joyful shepherd, a joyful woman, and a joyful father. We know these parables, and we see how it ends. The point is, we may be struggling right now, but if we don't quit, and we don't give up, it ends with our joy, with Christ's joy in us. We could be part of this parable. We could be called the joyful churchgoer. A little lame, I know, but that's the point. If we don't quit, if we don't give up, it's a promise. In the same chapter of Luke 15, in verse 10, I will read this one to you. You don't have to turn there. Christ said this, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Think about that. One of the characteristics of the early church was joy. I would like you to join me in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verses 46 and 47, notice what it says here. Acts 2, starting in verse 46. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That says something. You know, we talk about in the church, we talk about we want to see the church grow. And we do. Will God bring into His family a miserable group? No, He won't. He wants His character to be alive in His church. And that is the only way He will add to His family. He doesn't want people to come in and say, well, why did I join this church? Or why did I join this group? He wants the positive examples. In Acts 13, 52, and I've turned there, it tells us the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 13, verse 52. So I would like to notice just a few more examples of this joy. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote about joy. So if you'll go to Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Paul said this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but the living of a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Did you notice how Paul associated joy with a life of goodness and peace? He put it right together. If we are a true Christian, as God describes one to be, in other words, a follower of Jesus Christ, a follower and obeyer of the laws of God, then we are a part of the kingdom of God. And we can and will share in that life. And it's a life of goodness, as Paul described, a life of peace and a life of joy in the Holy Spirit and of the kingdom of God. This is what he promises for us. Again, Paul writing to the church of Philippi, Philippians 4, verse 4. I know I only gave you one point, but I did have a lot of scriptures. Philippians 4, verse 4 says this, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." You know, we're told over and over again to have this joy. And there's a reason for it, and we'll get to that in just a second. You know, again, Paul wrote, "Always be joyful." That's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. It's not just Paul, though, that wrote about this joy. Let's take a quick look at the words here from Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 6. "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a while." Now this is what we can relate to, right? In our life, we can understand this. "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your soul." That scripture says it all. This section of scripture says it all. This is the reward for having this joy, this trust, this faith in God. So the question that we should ask ourselves is this. Is the joy of the Lord our strength in whatever season we're in? We're all in different seasons. Is the joy of the Lord our strength? If we truly know and believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that with God all things are possible, and knowing that He said that, but He will never, ever leave us or forsake us, then whatever season we're in, and as hard as it may be, the joy of the Lord should be our strength, and it should be in our hearts. And again, that's easy to say, because we're all facing different things. Some of us are facing things that others of us couldn't possibly bear. But that's what God said, you know, I'll give you nothing more than you can bear. We all can't bear the same things. But we can search and work to have that joy that is the strength of Jesus Christ in our lives. You know, brethren, we are a child of God. And absolutely no one can take that away from us. No one can. That means that we are an heir to a priceless inheritance. Nothing this earth can touch. It's inheritance that is kept just for us, each and every one of us. And it is pure and it's undefiled. And it's beyond the reach of any chance of decay or rust. And that's pretty important. It's pretty special. We can experience the joy of the Lord in every season by keeping our eye on Jesus Christ and understanding that all these things that we've read are true. And they're for us. This is what we have to do. You know, faith is extremely important for each and every one of us to have. And it's not just so much having faith, but it's growing in faith. We all have faith, or we wouldn't be sitting here today. It takes faith for us to get out of bed and believe that Saturday is the Sabbath, and then to act on it. But how much more faith are we going to have? We need to keep building our faith. You know, faith is the victory. Faith overcomes everything. Faith helps us to know that that joy of the Lord absolutely is our strength. It takes faith. When we think about what each and every one of us are going through in our lives, we all have different, difficult seasons in life. If we're not going through it now, just wait. You know, the old saying is, if you want to experience rain, snow, sunshine, and whatever in the same week, move to Ohio or Northern Kentucky. And that's true. But if you want to experience all the seasons in the spiritual life, become a Christian. That's what it is. That's what we signed on for. But maybe we need to think about that. And I know we do this, but take it before God again and again and again. You know, at the end of the day, God wants to know where we stand. You know, we talked about this 100 times. We go back to 1995, and there were 2 to 3 times as many people in our congregation as there is now. And probably for the most part, we believe that most everybody was on the same page. God knows. And He allows tests and trials to come to check us, to shake the vine, to see who falls off, and to see who hangs on tighter. And it could happen again. It probably will happen again. You know, the testing, the trying is not over. And it won't be over until we have reached perfection. And I'm a long way from perfection. So I probably will live to be about 380 years old. So that's just what we have to do, though. We have to hang in there and keep fighting and keep struggling, but keep moving forward. You know, I think about Paul. And as you know, I really appreciate Paul and his stories of his life. But think back to Paul and Silas just for a moment. Think back to the situation that they were in. They were locked up in a Philippine prison. They were falsely accused. They have been arrested without cause. They have been beaten without a trial. And they were put in jail. They had shackles. They were there for who knows how long. But you know what they did? What would we do? Well, here's what they did. Humanly speaking, I think you could say, well, that seemed like a pretty joyless situation. But they chose to have joy. They started singing and praising God. And they didn't take their eye off the focus. No matter how bad the situation got, they did not take their eye off of the goal. Our goal, brethren, is the kingdom of God. That is our goal. All this that we're doing from Sabbath to Sabbath in the meantime, that's just a means to an end. The end is the beginning. And that's the beginning of eternal life. And that's where we are heading. That's where we want to be. We have to get through this from Sabbath to Sabbath for however many times God says do it. And whatever happens in between, we have to get through this. And as we do, we become stronger. And God says, okay, now I know. Now I know. You look at Paul and Silas here, what they went through, they did not take God out of the picture. And then a miracle happened. The prison shook. Can you imagine that? The prison shook. And the doors opened. And their chains and shackles fell off. And they walked out. They chose to have an attitude of joy. And it would not be easy in that situation. In our situation, wherever we're at, it might not be easy. But this is what they chose. And God rewarded them for it. Think about Peter and the other apostles. You know, the high priest and the Sadducees, they captured them and they had them flogged. Why? For preaching the gospel. The apostles were ordered to absolutely never, ever speak the name of Jesus Christ again. They flogged them and then they released them. That seems like another joyless situation, doesn't it? Let's take a look at this in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Acts 5 verse 41 and 42. It says here, the apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer. You notice this? Worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message, Jesus is the Messiah. They were warned not to do this. It could have been a matter of life and death. Guess what? They did it. And they did it joyfully. Doesn't that make you wonder, how could the apostles rejoice and have joy in a situation like this? Well, sure. The apostles were following the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Let's look at that one. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. He set the very perfect example for them and for each and every one of us. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details of the shame of being crucified. You can look that up. Go on online and look up under Roman crucifixions. And you will be amazed. And probably most of you have done that. It's not a very, very pretty thing. It says here, because of the joy awaiting him. We have that same joy awaiting us. Because of this, he endured everything that was coming his way. Let's take a quick reality check here just for a minute. The truth is, even the most spiritually mature of God, of all of his people, they can experience periods of joylessness. We all do that. We all go through it from time to time. We're not always filled with the kind of joy that we've just read about and we talked about 24/7. Job, I'm not going to turn there, but Job 3 verse 11, you can write this down. He wished that he had never been born. So obviously he didn't have this kind of joy at that time anyway. Another one I'm not going to turn to is Psalms 55, verse 6 through 8. David prayed to be taken to a place where he would not have to deal with reality. He was having a very low in his life. How about Elijah? He just came fresh from seeing 450 prophets of Baal defeated with fire that came down from heaven. He fled into the desert and he asked God to take his life. These are just a few examples of godly people that at times they found it very, very hard to have this kind of joy that we're talking about. So we shouldn't kick ourselves when we fall into this same thing. But what we do is we keep the faith. We pick ourselves up, or we have a friend pick us up. And sometimes that's the way to do it. Pick us up by our bootstraps and continue on. Satan would love nothing more than for us to quit. We can't quit. For us to experience this kind of joy, our focus needs to be back on God. And sometimes when we're in the middle of a trial or a tribulation, if you will, it's hard to keep our focus on God. But that's where we need to come to in our life. We need to do that. And we can do that with helping each other. We can do it for praying for each other. But we can do it for studying and drawing close to God ourselves. Now, I do want to be clear on this. I'm not saying that we are to deny our feelings and try to suppress our emotions. I'm not saying that at all. But we are to submit, you know, our circumstances, our situation, our problems, whatever they might be, to God. Because God is the one who cares for us. And we need to allow Him to handle these things for us. But we have to have faith that He will do this. He will guide our paths. Now let's notice Peter's instructions here in 1 Peter chapter 5 again. 1 Peter chapter 5, because he boldly tells us what to do here. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, he says, "Give all your worries and cares to God." Why? Because He cares for you. He says, "For He cares about you." You know, brother, we can pour our hearts out to God. We can tell Him how we feel, and He will understand, because He does care about us. Our situation may not change in the physical at that time, but He is there and He is listening. And when it's His time, He will take care of it. But it's His time. So how can we find joy in every season of life? Well, Paul gives us some practical guidelines here for experiencing this kind of joy in our lives. So if you will, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 again. Philippians chapter 4, read verses 4 through 9. Starting at verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Sometimes it comes right down to meditating on all these things, putting them in our mind first. You know, when we start thinking about things and it becomes a part of our innermost, and then we will start acting on them. But he says here, all these things, he gives this great list. Meditate on these things. And then if you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, then do them. Follow his example. This is, you know, Paul's example, follow Peter's example, follow Christ's example. These are the examples we have for us. Paul emphasizes the importance, though, of praising God and remembering that God is always near. He's always, you know, we like to say somebody's just a phone call away. Well, he's just a knee away. He's there for us anywhere, in every season of life, whatever we're going through. We are to pray and focus on the things of God. We will experience joy when we intentionally bring our praise and our worship to God. Think about Paul and Silas. Bring it to God. We will experience joy when we communicate with God through prayer and through our deep, deep Bible study. In Jeremiah 31, verse 13, God says, I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and exchange their sorrow for rejoicing. Now, he doesn't say he'll do it immediately, but he promises it. He will do this. We will experience joy when we walk by faith and we keep our focus on the things of God. You know, the five chapters of the book of James, they deal with the practical aspect of walking in faith. The book of James was written to Christians who had been scattered, you know, throughout various places. They were people who experienced a season of pain and a season of persecution in their lives. And these were long seasons. They went on for a while. If we have faith that works and that needs to grow, it will be seen in how we handle and face our trials. Now, again, sometimes they hit us harder than others, and it takes us back. But don't quit. That's the faith. Don't quit. Keep moving forward. This is what we need to do. I think that we could probably nominate James 1 and verse 2 as one of the most amazing statements in the entire Bible. And let's look at that. James 1 and verse 2. I'm going to read this from the NIV. It translates it like this. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's probably one of the scriptures that we absolutely hate to read. But it's in there. And it's there for a reason. And it's there for a good reason. It's not always something we like to consider. But you know, as we persevere through our trials with God, it has to be with God. We cannot face our trials on our own. It has to be with God. And as we do this with God and His help, and our faith strengthens, and our spiritual character, if you will, matures, by God's grace, we can experience that joy that He's talking about, despite what we're going through. I think it's really neat to talk to people, especially ones who, and not always the case, but a lot of times ones who've been around for a while, and they're facing something in their life. But they still have that Spirit of God in them. You can see it because that joy is there. Now, it might be masked a little bit. It might be deep, but it's still there. And I think that's encouraging for all of us. Let's go ahead and listen to James chapter 1 here again from the New Living Translation. I'll read verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. How encouraging is that? As much as we might not like it, in this world, the troubles and trials that we face, this is the reward. Did you notice that? You will be perfect and complete. You know what that means? The only way we can be perfect and complete is to go on to spiritual, eternal life. We can't be perfect and complete in this physical world. So this means that if we let it grow, if we endure and allow this to develop in our lives, He says right here, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Absolutely great. You know, 108 verses of the book of James, and you can count them, James gives us 54 different commands. 54, half And this is the first one. He says, consider it pure joy or an opportunity for great joy when troubles and trials come. That's a hard verse to understand, but once we do, it's encouraging. It helps us. You know, the word consider here, it carries with it the idea of counting. And I think the King James Version says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into the reverse temptations. But it's literally the idea of pressing your mind down on something. Pressing your mind down on something. Or leading your mind through a reasoning process to arrive at a conclusion, at a positive conclusion. There's also a sense of urgency here. We're to weigh our worries, weigh what we do, calculate our trials. It's part of counting, and then put them in perspective, in what they really are and how they are in our life. Brother, we need to understand that the main priority in our life, in our lives, is not our pleasure. We would love it to be. Not yet. Not yet. The main priority in our life should be the purposes of God. Whatever God says, whatever God does in our life. And when we reach that, just what we read here in James 1, 2 through 4, when we do all this, then we will be perfect. And then we will be complete. And then we will have need of nothing. But we have to work to that point. We have to suffer. We have to go through trials and troubles. The life of a Christian should display the marks, the indications, if you will, the reality, if you will, of a life lived with a focus on God and with Jesus Christ at the very center. And it will be surrounded by the love of the Father. And of course, it will be empowered by His Holy Spirit. And that is what gets us through. The only way we can do this, though, is to understand that there is a purpose in our life for everything that we go through. And we could look at Romans 8, verse 28, I believe it is. But we won't go there. It's, you know, all things happen for the good to those who love God and seek to keep His commandments. And I probably butchered that, but that's the idea of what it's saying. You know, trials, they lead to a life of transformation. And it does help us. When we persevere, our trials lead to a positive transformation. I will close with one final scripture, and that's Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Says this, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, as we take time for Bible study in our lives, the prayer that we need to draw closer to God, just remember that whatever season we're in, whatever we're going through, whatever circumstance or situation that we're facing now, we need to do our best to count it all joy. And this is why. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength.